Part 4, The Names of Power. With the name of Yod-Heh-Vor-Heh, one commands nature. Kingdoms are conquered in the name of Adonai. And the occult forces which compose the empire of Hermes are one and all obedient to him who knows how to pronounce duly the incommunicable name of Agla. Eliphaz Levi, the key of the mysteries. In magical theory, the real name of a god or an idea contains the essence of that god or idea, and therefore enshrines its power. Using the name turns on this power automatically, in the same way that pressing the light switch turns on the light. The magician's motives in using the name are neither here nor there. A man's reasons for wanting the light on may be good, bad, or indifferent, but they do not affect the supply of electricity. The New Testament makes it clear that people could use the name of Jesus, or thought they could, to cast out devils and perform other marvelous feats, even if they did not follow Jesus or accept his teaching. Quote, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Unquote. In a later passage, when certain Jews are trying to expel a devil, adjuring it by Jesus whom Paul preacheth, the devils reply, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" is entirely wrong-headed and contrary to all magical principle, because a name of power ought to work automatically. But then devils are well known to delight in deception. In the ancient world, there was a widespread belief in the existence of a secret name of infinite power which automatically controlled everything in the universe. A Greek magical incantation invokes a god whose hidden name is unspeakable, which when the daimones hear, they cower, which when the sun and earth hear, they turn about, which when Hades hears, he is troubled, rivers, the sea, lakes and springs when they hear it are frozen, rocks, when they hear it, are broken. The name controls even the gods themselves. An Assyrian inscription of the 7th century BC, itself a translation of a much older text, describes how the great god Ea was called on for help against the 7 terrible demons called Maskim, those who lie in ambush. Ea says he is the only being who knows the supreme magical name. When it is uttered, everything bows down in heaven, on earth, and in the infernal regions, and this name alone can subdue the Maskim and stay their havoc. The gods themselves are bound by this name and obey it. In Jewish tradition, the secret name of infinite power is the real name of the God of the Old Testament. The Sefer Yetzirah explains that what God did in creating the universe was to engrave his name, and the Zohar says that the 10 Sfirot constitute the sacred name of God, because God constructed the universe by extending his own identity. The real name of God is God. It is the universe, and it contains and controls all things. The search for this name is one of the major preoccupations of Kabbalistic magic. The Bible supplies several names of God, which have been used in magic by Jews and Christians, including El, Elohim, Eloah, Sabaoth, Shaddai, Adonai, Jehovah, Yah, and Eyeh. El was an ordinary word for God in Phoenician and Assyrian, as well as in Hebrew. Elohim, which is plural, and its singular, Eloah, were also common words for God in Hebrew, and the same root appears in Aramaic and Arabic terms for God. Sabaoth is usually translated as Lord of Hosts, Shaddai as the Almighty, Adonai as the Lord. Basically, all these names merely mean a God. The personal name of the God of the Old Testament is the Tetragrammaton, or name of 4 letters, YHVH, Yod, He, Vor, He, written from right to left in Hebrew. This is the name which appears as Jehovah in many versions of the Bible. It is a form of the verb to be, He, Vo, He, and means He is, He exists. The first person form is Eye, I am, revealed to Moses at the burning bush. Eye asher Eye, I am that I am. Yah, or Jah, comes from the same root and may be an early form of YHVH. The Tetragrammaton has been held in great awe from very early times. The Jews were reluctant to pronounce it, out of respect and possibly for fear of hostile magic. It came to be spoken rarely and so softly that it could not be heard. By the time of Christ, the Tetragrammaton was spoken once a year by the high priest when he entered the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, and also, inaudibly, during the priestly blessing, Numbers 6:24-27, after the daily services in the temple. In the ordinary services it was not pronounced at all, and wherever it appeared in the scriptures, it was read as Adonai, Lord, or Elohim, God. The result is that for hundreds of years, no one has been quite certain how it should be pronounced. Jehovah is a medieval rendering, and almost certainly does not coincide with any pronunciation of the name ever used in Hebrew. Modern scholars generally plump for Yahweh. From the magical point of view, it is fitting that the name of God should be made of four letters, because it was the name used to construct the universe, and four is the number of the way in which all things are constructed and organized. As the personal name of God, and because of the awe with which it is surrounded, the Tetragrammaton has always been a particularly important name of power in magic. Some occultists have claimed to know its true pronunciation, but this is a secret of secrets, a great arcanum of the mysteries revealed to none but the elite. The Tetragrammaton and other biblical names of God are used in every type of conjuration, spell, and magical operation. The Key of Solomon recommends a talisman which must be engraved on copper, the metal of Venus, to attract love. In the center of a circle are two triangles with the divine names YHVH and ADNY, Adonai, three names of angels, Monachiel, Achides, Delgaliel, and the name Ruach, Spirit. The Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, broods on the waters at the beginning of Genesis. The words in the surrounding circle are a garbled Latin version of Genesis 1:28, referring to Adam and Eve. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. The sexual force inherent in these words, backed up by the power of the divine and angelic names, will arouse passion in any woman to whom this talisman is shown. Six names of power are used, and the hourglass design in the center of the talisman has six sides. Six is the number of female love. A grimoire called the Grimorium Verum says that the magician's inkwell should have the names Yod He Vo He, Metatron Yod Kedos Elohim Sabaoth, inscribed on it, to infuse divine power into the ink and to ward off evil influences. Metatron is the name of the angel who guided the Israelites through the wilderness and is interchangeable with Shaddai, the Almighty, because both add to 314. Kados is Hebrew Kadosh, the Holy One, a title of God. Elohim is Elohim. The biblical names of God, even the Tetragrammaton, did not satisfy magicians, and constant search was made for the elusive real name. The letters of the Tetragrammaton were rearranged in various permutations by Temura, YVHH, YHHV, HVHY. Vowels were added to the consonants in various ways to produce YAHAVAHA or YEHEVEH, for instance. Sometimes the letters of two divine names were mixed together, as in the name of power, YAHDVNHY, an anagram of YHVHADNY, Jehovah Adonai. In the early centuries after Christ, names of God of 12, 14, and 72 letters or syllables were discovered, and later still, names of 8, 10, 14, 16, 18, 21, 22, 32, and 60 letters. The name of 22 letters, a suitable number, since 22 means everything, first appears in the 13th century Sefer Raziel, Book of the Angel Raziel, attributed to Eleazar of Worms. The name is A-N-Q-T-M, P-S-T-M, P-S-P-S-Y-M, D-Y-V-N-S-Y-M, and is probably a permutation of letters from the words of the priestly blessing, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." The name has no discernible meaning and contains no words known in Hebrew or Aramaic. The pronunciation is uncertain, but may have been Anaktam Pastam Paspasim Dayansim. The name of 42 letters is A-B-G-Y-T-S, possibly pronounced Abgitaz or Abigtaz. Q-D-A-S-T-N, N-G-D-Y-B-S, B-T-D-S-T-G, H-Q-D-T-N-A, Y-G-L-P-Z-Q, S-Q-V-S-Y-T, possibly Shakvazit or Shekuzit. This is probably a rearrangement of the first 42 letters of the Bible, and again has no known meaning. According to a 15th century story, a Kabbalist called Joseph de la Reina tried to use the 42-letter name to gain power over the arch-devil Samael, the angel who wrestled with Jacob, and his lieutenant Ammon of No. The two devils were forced to appear by means of a ring engraved with names of power. They came in the form of fearsome snakes, and Joseph's helpers ran away in terror. Joseph stood firm and placed on the head of Samael a brass crown on which the name of 42 letters was written, saying, "Thy master's name is upon thee." Samael was vanquished, but cunningly persuaded the Kabbalist to seal the victory by burning incense to him. But this was an act of idolatry, and it automatically freed the devils. The longest, and some say the most powerful of the names of God, is the name of 72 syllables, the Shem HaMforash, or preeminent name, a title originally given to the Tetragrammaton. It comes from Exodus 14:19-21, the passage about the Israelites crossing the Red Sea as the waters divided, with the chariots of Pharaoh in pursuit. Each of these three verses has 72 letters in Hebrew. They are written Bustrophedon, verse 19 from right to left, underneath it, verse 20, from left to right, and below this again, verse 21, from right to left. Starting at the top right-hand corner and reading downwards, 72 syllables of three letters each are read off. The first syllable contains the first letter of verse 19, the last letter of verse 20, and the first letter of verse 21, and so on. According to tradition, Moses spoke this name at the Red Sea, and it was its powerful force which parted the waters and allowed the Israelites to cross. The name's pronunciation is unknown, and it is too unwieldy to be much used in magic. One of the first great Christian Kabbalists, John Reuchlin, who lived in the 15th and early 16th centuries, and whose books profoundly influenced Agrippa, pointed out that the name of 72 syllables is mathematically a derivative of the Tetragrammaton. The Tetragrammaton letters with their number equivalents are Y, 10, H, 5, V, 6, H, 5. Y equals 10, YH equals 15, YHV equals 21, YHVH equals 26. And if these totals are added, 10 plus 15 plus 21 plus 26 It equals 72. Reuchlin also said that the name of Jesus, the pentagrammaton, is more powerful than the tetragrammaton because it adds the letter S to it. IHVH becomes IHSVH. Jesus, the letter Yod, can be read as Y, I, or J. S is a letter of power because Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, adds to 300, and the letter Shin, S, has the number value of 300, so that S stands for the Holy Spirit. Magicians, in search of names which contain power, did not confine themselves to the Old Testament, and the rituals in the grimoires use names drawn from Jewish, Christian, Egyptian, Greek, and Latin sources. A tremendous conjuration in the Lamegaton, or Lesser Key of Solomon, commands a demon to appear by an awe-inspiring battery of powerful names, including Y and V, which God revealed to Adam. Yolt, which Jacob learned from the angel with whom he wrestled, Agla, which Lot heard and was saved from the destruction of Sodom, Shemes Amatia, which Joshua spoke, and the sun stood still in the sky, Emmanuel, which Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego cried out in the burning fiery furnace and were preserved from the flames, Alpha and Omega, with which Daniel destroyed Bel and the dragon, Sabaoth, the name with which Moses brought down the plague of frogs upon the Egyptians, Escherche Ariston, which turned the rivers of Egypt to blood, Elion, which brought the plague of hail, the names Hagios, Jetros, and Parakletos, the three holy and secret names Agla, On, and Tetragrammaton, and the name Prima Matum, which Moses uttered, and the earth opened and swallowed up Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Y and V are two of the Tetragrammaton letters, and Yod is a variation of its first letter, Yod. Agla, a great name of power which is frequently used in magic, is made by Notaricon from the initial letters of the Hebrew phrase, Ayet Gadol Leolam Adonai, Thou art mighty for ever, O Lord. Medieval German Jews believed that if this name was written on a wooden plate, and the plate thrown into a fire, it would put the fire out. They explained this by expanding the name by reverse notaricon into Allmächtiger Gott lösch aus, Almighty God, extinguish it. Shemesh Amatia is Son Be Silent. Shemesh was the name of the Canaanite sun god, and Shamash was the Babylonian sun god. The reference is to Joshua's command, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, which in the Hebrew is, Son, be dumb upon Gibeon. Emmanuel means God with us, and occurs only three times in the Old Testament, but it was later used as a title of Christ. Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet and imply everything and God because they contain the whole alphabet between them. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, says the risen Christ in Revelation. Escherche Ariston comes from the Greek words iskouros, strong, mighty, and aristos, the best, the noblest. Elion is a Hebrew title of God, El Elyon, God Most High. Hagios is the Greek word for holy, and Jetros is Greek for the healer. Parakletos is the Holy Ghost, the comforter of St. John's Gospel, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. On was another name for the ancient Egyptian city of Heliopolis, at which the sun was worshipped. The priests of Heliopolis maintained that it was the center of the earth, and the place from which supreme power on earth ought to be exercised. Primematum is Latin for first made or new made. Referring to Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, Moses told the Israelites, But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Many of the names of power which roar and thunder through the rituals have no discernible meaning, and their origin is unknown. A grimoire called The Black Pullet recommends various apparently meaningless names of power. To call up all the powers of heaven and hell, the names are Siras Etar Besanar. To discover hidden treasures, Onaim Perantes Razonastos. To open any lock at a touch, Saritap Pernisox Atarim. The Egyptian secrets of Albertus Magnus, which could scarcely have been written by the great 13th century philosopher, reaches a high peak of unintelligibility with a charm to cure erysipelas in cattle. Write the following letters on an egg and give it to the afflicted animal to eat. Capital K, A-O-R-K, capital S, capital S, capital O-R, capital E, Z-O-N-R-H. A-R, capital K, capital O, capital C, T-Z, T-Z, A-H-U-R-O-X, capital K, A-O-T-Z-A. Capital E-A, capital E, capital S, X-I-I-X, A-R-O-T-T-T-O-X. These letters may be an anagram of various names of power, or they may be the initial letters of the names, or they may be just a muddle. An anagram of tarot can be seen in the last line. The use of unintelligible and barbarous words in magic goes back to the Egyptian magicians who invented peculiar and scarcely pronounceable real names for their gods, probably to prevent rival magicians from pronouncing them. The habit passed into Western Europe through the Greco-Egyptian magical texts of the early centuries after Christ, which are full of twisted and contorted names of no known meaning, as well as Egyptian, Greek, and Jewish names of gods and angels. In some cases, names of power have been altered deliberately to conceal the real name or discover a better one, and in others the names have been muddled in translation or in being passed from one magician to another. A modern occult group were puzzled by the name of power Tegatu, which they were trying to use, until they discovered that it was the battered remains of the great architect of the universe. Another example is the name Pipi, which is a defense against evil, and if written on a shelled, hard-boiled egg, opens the heart to wisdom and learning. One early alteration of the Tetragrammaton transformed it to YHYH, Yod-He, Yod-He. People accustomed to reading Greek, which unlike Hebrew is written from left to right, saw this as the Greek letters Pi-Iota, Pi-Iota, P-P. P.P. eventually came back into Jewish magic from Greek as a name of power. Another source of meaningless words in magic is the love of rhythm, rhyme, and assonance. The following method of healing a fractured or dislocated bone comes from Cato the Censor's book On Agriculture, written in the 2nd century B.C. Take a green reed about 4 or 5 feet long, split it down the middle, and have two assistants hold the pieces against your hips. Then chant, Motas vaeta daries dadares astateries disunapiter. Meanwhile, bring the ends of the split reed together in front of you, waving a knife above them. Hold the ends together and cut left and right. Then tie the pieces round the injured bone, repeating the same words, or alternatively, Huap haut haut istasis tarsis adanabo danaustra. The chanted words have no meaning. Their virtue lies in the fact that they sound impressive. The Egyptian secrets provide a very necessary charm to prevent a person from firing a gun while you are looking into the barrel. Simply say, Pax sax sarax. An early medieval cure for toothache is to say, Argidem margidem sturgidem, 7 times on a Tuesday or a Thursday, providing the moon is waning, so that the toothache will wane too. Although nonsense words like these are used only in magical operations of a low and simple order, the whole magical art of incantation depends heavily on impressive sound. The Grimoire of Honorius threatens a recalcitrant demon with, If you do not obey promptly and without tarrying,
I will shortly increase your torments for 1,000 years in hell. I constrain you, therefore, to appear here in comely human shape by the most high names of God, Hain, Lon, Hilei, Sabaoth, Helim, Radisha, Ledyeha, Adonai, Jehovah, Yah, Tetragrammaton, Sadei, Messias, Agios, Ischiros, Emmanuel, Agla, Jesus who is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, that you be justly established in the fire, having no power to reside, habit, or abide in this place henceforth, and I require your doom by the virtue of the said names, that Saint Michael drive you to the uttermost of the infernal abyss, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, so be it. The magician works himself up into a state of ecstatic frenzy by intoning words which roar and beat and swell and reverberate. The words must never be said flatly, but rhythmically chanted. The sorcerers of classical times spoke their incantations in a long ululation like the howl of a wolf. The strangeness of the words used increases their self-hypnotizing effect. The peculiar mental excitement required, Alastair Crowley said, may even be aroused by the perception of the absurdity of the process and the persistence in it. At the end of his resources, on one occasion, he recited From Greenland's Icy Mountains and obtained the desired results. There is no question that human beings are affected by the sound of certain words and combinations of words. Effective oratory and verbal lovemaking both rely partly on the pitch of the voice and the sound of the words used. Poetry affects us through its sound, and magicians generally prefer poetry which is distinguished for its magnificence of sound. Crowley greatly admired Swinburne, and his own verse was decidedly Swinburnian. In magical theory, if the sound of certain words affects human beings, as it does, the same sounds will affect the forces of the universe, for the universe is man on a greater scale. Which combinations of sound will be effective can only be discovered by trial and error. It is not enough to know the spelling of a name of power. It is essential to discover the correct pronunciation to produce the correct sound. The correct sound can only be learned by trying out different pronunciations until the magician finds the one which works. To be able to pronounce effectively the very greatest of the names of power, like Agla or the Tetragrammaton, is a mark of the master of the magic arts. Crowley claimed that he knew how to pronounce the lost Tetragrammaton, at the utterance of which the whole universe crashes into dissolution. He did not explain the point, but his lost Tetragrammaton was probably the real name of God pronounced backwards. The real name of God was used to construct the universe. To speak it backwards is to reverse the process and destroy the universe. Similarly, the real name of the devil is supposed to be the real name of God spelled backwards. One version of it is Havayot. In magic, as in poetry, the effect a word creates is produced by the combination of its sound and its meaning, and the two things cannot really be disentangled from each other. Forceful words, impressively spoken and backed by authority, the commands of a drill sergeant, for instance, have a powerful effect on those who hear them. Magicians believe that in the same way, forceful words, backed by the authority of the magician's will, have a powerful effect in magic. In some magical operations, the words of an incantation are expected to be effective by themselves, with little or no other ceremonial. An 18th-century French method of forcing a woman to submit to you is to touch any part of her body and chant, Bestabeto corrumpit viscera eius mulieris. Bestabeto weakens the innards of his woman. Corrumpo means to weaken or to corrupt, and is used here in the sense of turning the woman's insides to water. Bestabeto is an obscure demonic or angelic power of some kind, but the real force of the charm is simply in the meaning of the words themselves. The fact that they are in Latin adds to their impressiveness. A bathotic example of the supposed power of words to command demonic forces is a spell found by the Manchester police in 1865 when searching the house of an astrologer and magician called John Rhodes. It says, I adjure and command you, ye strong, mighty, and most powerful spirits, who are rulers of this day and hour, that ye obey me in this my cause of placing my husband in his former situation under the Trent Brewery Company. a conjuration in a British Museum manuscript for compelling an obstinate demon to appear, relies mainly on the names of power which are used and the force of the words of the incantation. A fire is built of brimstone, dried manure, and any other stinking stuff. The demon's name is written on virgin parchment and burned in the fire. The magician prays to God by his just judgment against the serpent of Eden to condemn and curse the disobedient demon. Then he appeals to the powers of hell. O thou most puissant prince Rhadamanthus, which dost punish in thy prison of perpetual perplexity the disobedient devils of hell, and also the grisly ghosts of men dying in dreadful despair, I conjure, bind, and charge thee by Lucifer, Beelzebub, Satanas, Jauchenil, and by their power, and by the homage thou owest unto them, and also I charge thee by the triple crown of Cerberus, his head, by Styx and Phlegeton, by your fellow and private devil, Baranter, that you do torment and punish this disobedient N, until you make him come corporally to my sight, and obey my will and commandments in whatsoever I shall charge or command him to do. Fiat, fiat, fiat. Amen.
Rhadamanthus was one of the judges of the underworld in Greek mythology. He was the younger brother of Minos, king of Crete, and the son of Zeus and Europa, who was carried off by Zeus in the form of a bull. Cerberus was the three-headed dog which guarded the gate of Hades. The Styx was the principal river of the underworld, round which it flowed seven times. Phlegeton was another underworld river made of flames instead of water. Fiat means let it be so, as does Amen. But Amen is a name of power in itself because its Hebrew letters, A-M-N, add to 91, and Jehovah Adonai also adds to 91. In Greek, Amen adds to 99, and some early Christian manuscripts put 99 at the end of prayers to signify Amen. From the powers of hell, the magician turns to the reluctant demon himself. At the sign, the magician makes the sign of the cross. O thou most disobedient spirit, N, I condemn thee by the virtue and power of the three most dreadful and mighty names of God, Agla, sign, On, sign, Tetragrammaton, sign, into the hands of these princes, Lucifer, Satanas, Beelzebub, Jauchenil, to be tormented in the bottomless pit of hell for thy stubbornness, willfulness, disobedience, and rebellion. And furthermore, as Christ Jesus cast out devils by the power of his divine Godhead, by that power of Christ Jesus, I cast thee into the tormenting pit of fire and brimstone until the latter day of judgment, except thou be obedient to fulfill my will and commandment in all things I have or shall ask or demand of thee, without any deceit, falsehood, or delay. In nomine Patris, sign, Filii, sign, et Spiriti Sancti, sign, Amen, fiat, fi. The author of this process has combined names of power with language which is impressive in sound and clear in meaning into an incantation which expresses his will and which he hopes will effect it. Language is one of the supreme magical weapons. Through his use of language, the magician taps the power of occult forces or intelligences, intoxicates himself into a frenzy in which his own powers are raised to their highest pitch, and expresses his commands in forceful words. At the back of his mind, there is always the example of the great magical act in which the universe was created by the speaking of words, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Ideally, as Eliphas Levi said, in magic, to have said is to have done. Some names of power shrink and expand. The best known of them is Abracadabra, which Defoe mentions in his Journal of the Plague Year. He said that many people behaved as if the plague was the result of possession by an evil spirit, and believed they could ward it off by crossing themselves, or with papers tied in knots, the signs of the zodiac, or words and figures, especially the word abracadabra written in a triangle. The word has been so widely used in magic that it has passed into the dictionary as a term for magical mumbo-jumbo in general, but it is still highly regarded by modern magicians. The earliest mention of the word comes from Quintus Serenus Simonicus, a doctor who was with the Emperor Severus
on his expedition to Britain in 208. He was the author of a poem, which was well known in the Middle Ages, in which he says that abracadabra is a cure for tertian fever. It should be written on a piece of paper, which must hang round the patient's neck for 9 days, and then thrown backwards over the shoulder into a stream running eastwards. The usual way of writing the word is, first line, A-B-R-A-C-A-D-A-B-R-A, second line, A-B-R-A-C-A-D-A-B-R, third line, A-B-R-A-C-A-D-A-B, fourth line, A-B-R-A-C-A-D-A, A-B-R-A-C-A-D, A-B-R-A-C-A, A-B-R-A-C, A-B-R-A, A-B-R, A-B, A. The figure thus formed is a pyramid with the apex at the bottom. When the word is hung round the patient's neck, his fever will gradually shrink away to nothing, just as the word does. If the charm fails to work, Serenus recommends lion's fat or yellow coral with green emeralds attached to the skin of a cat and worn round the neck. These remedies seem to be connected with the sun. The lion and yellow both belong to the sun, and a stream flowing eastwards runs towards the rising sun. The sun supplies the world with heat, and heat is the principal characteristic of fever. Eliphas Levi makes great play with the magic triangle of abracadabra. Its 11 letters combine 1, the initiate, with 10, all things. The first A is the 1. AB shows the fertilization of the 2 by the 1, from which all things were created. The next letter, R, shows the emission which results from the union of the 2 principles. That is because in Levi's system, R corresponds to the moon in the tarot. The drops of blood which fall from the moon are the emission which follows the penetration of the virgin 2. The origin of abracadabra is unknown, and most of the attempts made to translate or explain it are not impressive. It may be connected with a Jewish charm to cure fevers, which goes, ab, abr, abra, abrak, abraka, abrakal, abrakala, abrakal, abraka, abrak, abra, abra, ab. And the people called unto Moses, and Moses prayed to God, and the fire abated. Numbers 11:2. May healing come from heaven, from all kinds of fever and consumption, heat to N, son of N. Amen, amen, amen. Sila, sila, sila. This charm must also be hung round the sufferer's neck. Its effect is to build up the heat of the fever to breaking point and then gradually diminish it. Another Jewish charm involving a shrinking word, sometimes used against diseases of the eye, is shabriri, briri, riri, iri, ri. Shabriri is a demon, and the charm decreases his power by whittling away his name. In other cases, a magician may build a name up with the effect of steadily increasing power. Ton, ramaton, gramaton, ragramaton, tragramaton, tetragramaton. The Key of Solomon describes a crown which the magician must wear, in which it is written agla, aglei, aglata, aglatei. Words or groups of words which read the same both forwards and backwards are powerful in magic. A palindrome has unusual force because it remains more determinedly itself than an ordinary word, which becomes gibberish if read backwards. For instance, first line, Mylon, second line, Irago, third line, Lamal, fourth line, Ogari, fifth line, Nolim. Vertically, first line, Mylon, second line, Irago, third line, Lamal, fourth line, Ogari, fifth line, Nolim. If you write this on parchment, one word below the other, and place it on top of your head, the spirits will secretly reveal to you the truth of all things past, present, and future. The square remains the same, whether you read it downwards, upwards, from the left, or from the right. and it is this which gives it its magic power. This is one of the magic squares from the sacred magic of Abramelin the Mage, which MacGregor Mathers translated and which influenced both Mathers and Crowley. The manuscript is in French and was written in the 18th century, but it is dated 1458 and claims to be a translation from an original in Hebrew. The central doctrine of Abramelin is that the universe is populated by hordes of angels and demons. All the phenomena of the world are produced by the demons working under the direction of the angels. The nature of man is midway between the angelic and the demonic, and each man has attached to him a guardian angel and a malevolent demon. This idea is much older than Abramelin. Abramelin says that initiates of the magic of light can master and control the demons. This is achieved by a powerful will, purity, and asceticism, and the use of words arranged in magic squares and written on parchment. With these squares, the magician can acquire all knowledge and wisdom, the love of anyone he desires, and all hidden treasures, including statuary and ancient works of art. He can make himself invisible, cause spirits to appear and obey him, and create a zombie by reviving a corpse and making it behave as if it was alive for 7 years. He can fly in the air as a cloud, eagle, crow, crane, or vulture. He can heal diseases, alter his sex, age, and appearance, and cause hatred, discord, battles, and general loss and damage. Abramelin's squares are marred by the unfortunate fact that there are very few words in any language which fit the requirements of a magic square. Mathers explains that the words in the squares, quote, represent generally the effect to be produced, or, in other words, are simply the Hebrew or other appellations of the result to which the square is to be applied, unquote. But he had little success in translating the words, and many of them seem to be meaningless collections of letters arranged to read the same in all directions. For example, square A. First line, Rolor. Second line, Obufo. Third line, Luaul. Fourth line, Ofubo. Fifth line, Rolor. And vertically, first line, Rolor. Second line, Obufo. Third line, Luaul. Fourth line, Ofubo. Fifth line, Rolor. Second example, square B. First line, Salom. Second line, Aripo. Third line, Lemel. Fourth line, Opera. Fifth line, Molas. And vertically, first line, Salom. Second line, Aripo. Third line, Limel. Fourth line, Opera. Fifth line, Molas. Square A is for flying in the air in the form of a crow. Rolor may come from Hebrew rol, to move hurriedly. Square B, which wins the love of a maiden if touched to her bare skin, is very like the most famous of all magic squares, the Sator formula. First line, Sator. Second line, Aripo. Third line, Tenet. Fourth line, Opera. Fifth line, Rotas. And vertically, first line, Sator. Second line, Aripo. Third line, Tenet. Fourth line, Opera. Fifth line, Rotas. This square was found scratched on fragments of wall plaster from a Roman villa in Cirencester. It has also been found inscribed on ancient drinking vessels and in Bibles of the Carolingian period. The Egyptian secrets recommend it for finding witches, because no witch can stay in the same room with it, for protecting cow's milk against witchcraft, for colic and against pestilence, poisonous air, and sorcery. Like Agla, the Sator formula was believed to have the power of extinguishing a fire if written on a wooden plate and thrown into the flames. In 1742 in Saxony, it was ordered that plates bearing this formula were to be kept handy for firefighting. A manuscript in the Bodleian says that the Sator square will magically obtain anything you want. Quote, write these words in parchment with the blood of a culver, pigeon, and bear it in thy left hand, and ask what thou wilt, and thou shalt have it, fiat, unquote. Many attempts have been made to translate the Sator square without noticeably illuminating results. One version is, Aripo the sower, Sator, delays, Tenet, the wheels, Rotas, by his works, opera. Another is, the sower is at the plow, aripo, the work occupies the wheels. Mathers interpreted as, the creator, sator, slow-moving, aripo, maintains, tenet, his creations, opera, as vortices, rotas. It is now generally accepted that the formula cannot be translated in this way at all. It is probably a Christian charm, an anagram of Pater Noster, and the letters A and O twice repeated so that it contains the first two words of the Lord's Prayer with Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, a symbol of Christ. Magic squares containing numbers have played a less prominent part in magic than those which contain letters. The Kabbalists say that each planet has a magic square which can be used to attract the planet's influence. The squares of Saturn and Jupiter are Saturn, first line 492, second line 357, third line 816, read vertically, first line 438, second line 951, third line 276. Jupiter, first line 414151, second line 97612, third line 511108, fourth line 162313, and read vertically, first line 495 16, second line 14 7 11 2, fifth line 15 6 10 3, fourth line 112 8 13. In a properly constructed square, each number from 1 to the highest number used must appear once. Whether the numbers are added vertically or horizontally, each column must add to the same total. The Saturn square is the oldest magic square known and appears in the Chinese I Ching. It has three rows of three figures because Saturn is the third sphera, and similarly the square of Jupiter, which is the fourth sphera, has four rows of four figures. The square of the Sun has six rows of six figures, using the numbers from 1 to 36, and if all the figures in the square are added, the total is 666. The deduction which magicians draw from this is that the beast of Revelation is one aspect of the sun or the life force. It is the savage, relentless, pulsing power which drives all living things to procreate, to survive, to master their environment. Modern magicians tend to be particularly fond of Greco-Egyptian names of power inherited from the Gnostic sects. The Christian Kabbalists of the Renaissance were fascinated by various Gnostic writings believed to have been written by Hermes Trismegistus, the supposed author of the Emerald Table. The bulk of these formed a collection called the Corpus Hermeticum, part of which was first translated into Latin and published in 1471. The Renaissance Kabbalists found in these hermetic books many of the occult theories which they also discovered in the Kabbalah, and the interest in Gnosticism has affected Kabbalistic magic ever since. Among their numerous peculiarities, the Gnostics were addicted to tongue-twisting names of power involving batteries of consonants and strings of apparently senseless vowels. In a Gnostic book called the Pistis Sophia, written in Coptic, a mixture of Egyptian and Greek, Jesus stands at the edge of the sea and prays to God. Hear me, my Father, the Father of every fatherhood, the boundless light, Iau, Iuo, Iau, Uya, Sinother, Theropsin, Nopsither, Nepholomouth, Nepheomouth, Marakaktha, Mamarakta, Iau, Amen, Aman, Aman, Eto, Urao, Ista, Amen, Amen, Subaibi, Apap, Amen, Amen, Derar Ayapau, Amen, Amen,
Sarsasatau, amen, amen. Kukya mu miai, amen, amen. Iai, iai, tuap, amen, amen, amen. Main, mari, marie, amen, amen, amen.
The high importance attached to the seven Greek vowels probably comes partly from the fact that there are seven of them, and partly from the concealment of the vowels in written Hebrew. Vowels which are hidden are obviously of greater interest and importance than consonants which are openly revealed. One Gnostic version of the real name of God is, in English letters, Yahweh. Eliphaz Levi and MacGregor Mathers were both enraptured by all things Greco-Egyptian, but Aleister Crowley was the most thoroughgoing Gnostic of modern magicians. His important ritual, called Liber Samech, is a genuine Greco-Egyptian magical text with additions and alterations by Crowley himself. In this ritual, the magician recites a long string of names of power, including Yao and Yeo, which are Gnostic equivalents of the Tetragrammaton, Adonai, and Sabaoth, which were both frequently used by the Gnostics, and Abraxas, or Abrasax, a Gnostic deity whose name adds to 365 the number of days in the year. Some of the other names of power used, with Crowley's interpretations of their meaning, are Soto, thou the Savior, from Greek Sota, Savior, Ar, O breathing flowing sun, Ra, the name of the Egyptian sun god, backwards, Athorebalo, thou goddess of beauty and love whom Satan beholding desireth, Hathor was an Egyptian goddess, daughter of Ra, Mriodom, thou the sea, the abode, Arogogoruabrau, thou spiritual sun, Satan, thou eye, thou lust. Ah, thou air, breath, spirit, from the fool of the tarot, who corresponds to Aleph and air. Ao, our lady of the western gate of heaven. O, Satan, thou eye, thou lust. The Hebrew letter Ayin, O, corresponds to the devil in the tarot and traditionally represents an eye. Photet, abode of the light, from the Greek phos, light. Ma, O mother, O truth. Ma was the Egyptian goddess of truth. Gaia, leap up, thou earth. Gia was a Greek goddess, a personification of the earth. Crowley called this ritual Liber Samech, because the Hebrew letter Samech corresponds to temperance in the tarot, a symbol of orgasm and the soul's passage from a lower plane to a higher. He added the subtitles Theurgia Goetia Summa, high supernatural black magic. The second section of the grimoire, called the Lemegaton, is entitled Theurgia Goetia and Congressus Cum Daemone, intercourse with a demon, and described it as the ritual employed by the beast 666 for the attainment of the knowledge and conversation of his holy guardian angel. This angel is an aspect of the magician's unconscious self, and so is the demon of the subtitle. Quote, it is said among men that the word hell deriveth from the word helan, to hele, or conceal, in the tongue of the Anglo-Saxons. That is, it is the concealed place, which since all things are in thine own self, is the unconscious. Unquote. To know the angel and have intercourse with the demon, which are the attendant spirits of Abramelin the mage, means to summon up and liberate the forces of the magician's unconscious. The performance of the ritual is accompanied by masturbation, and the mounting frenzy with which the barbarous names of power are chanted is paralleled by rising sexual excitement, ending in a climax which is both physical and psychological, and in which the magician's innermost powers are unleashed. Crowley produced the final version of the Liber Samech in 1921 for one of his pupils at the Abbey of Thelema in Sicily, Brother Progradior, whose name among men was Frank Bennett, an ex-bricklayer in his 50s. Progradior, I will advance,
was troubled by mysterious voices which he heard speaking to him, and by painful headaches. Crowley believed with the Freudians that the principal cause of psychological troubles is the inhibition of unconscious sex drives. The frenzy of the ritual was intended to overwhelm the conscious mind and sweep inhibitions away in the rising and swirling tides of the unconscious. But the Liber Samech is much more than a method of taking the libido out for a run. It is a ceremony in which the magician asserts his divine power and his mastery of the universe. The sexual force of the male is the human parallel to the creative power of God. In fact, raised to its highest pitch and directed by the will, the male generative force is divine creative power. The liberation of this force releases the power which controls all things in the universe. As the magician chants the barbarous names of power in the ritual, he creates vibrations, sound waves in this case, charged with energy, which flow out from him and affect everything they touch. By vibrating the names in all directions, while turning inside his magic circle, he believes that he is radiating into the entire universe the power which he has called up from the recesses of his being. Come thou forth, the magician commands the angel demon, which is his inner self. Come thou forth and follow me, and make all spirits subject unto me, so that every spirit of the firmament and of the ether, upon the earth or under the earth, on dry land or in the water, of whirling air or of rushing fire, and every spell and scourge of God, may be obedient unto me.